precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone. A precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Those Palestinian refugees, well, what about it? Who are they? What is the real story? One of the sticking points in this off and on negotiations between the Israelis and the Palestinians is that of the so-called refugees, the children, mostly grandchildren of those who left Israel during 1948 War of Independence. Yasser Arafat insisted that there can be no peace unless those refugees are allowed to return to Israel. What are the facts? 650,000 refugees swelled to 5 million. You've heard about those Palestinian refugees who claim right of return to Israel. Of course, virtually none of them ever lived in Israel. They are the children and mostly grandchildren of those who fled in 1948. The total number of those who fled in 1948 is estimated to have been about 650,000. Now, the number who wish to return has swollen to almost 5 million. How did this exodus come about? In 1948, on the day of the proclamation of the State of Israel, five Arab armies invaded the new country from all sides. In frightful radio broadcasts, they urged the Arabs living there to leave so that the invading armies could operate without interference. They could return after the expected quick victory in that holy war, get their property back, and that of the Jews. Things turned out differently. And of course, that was by the providential working of God, of course. The invading armies were defeated. Those who had left became refugees, people without a country. Those who stayed and their children are full-fledged citizens of the State of Israel. These so-called Palestinian refugees have not been allowed to settle in the indivisible Arab nation. They have been supported in camps since 1948. So far, close to $1.8 billion has been spent on their maintenance. No end is in sight. Who pays for that? You guessed it. Through UNWRA relief. The United States contributes more than 60% of the total cost. So a United States taxpayer, including myself, we're the ones, the majority, who have actually supported those refugee camps. The Arab countries among them, some of the richest in the world, lose and just waste away their enormous fortunes on undreamed luxuries, are satisfied to leave their Arab brethren in those miserable camps. They have never contributed a penny to their maintenance. Another side of the refugee story. But there is another side to the refugee story. Little's heard of 800,000 Jewish refugees from Arab countries who fled those countries to settle in the newly formed Jewish state of Israel. Every one of those refugees was immediately accepted, resettled, taken care of, and given full citizenship by the fledging, impoverished, and embattled Jewish state. There never has been, and there certainly is not now, a Jewish refugee camp in Israel or anywhere else. The Arab refugees who fled Israel left little wealth and little history, since most of them had not come to Palestine until Jewish settlers opened economic opportunities in what had been a desolate country for centuries. But the Jews of Arab lands have a history going back thousands of years. When forced to flee, they left behind land, wealth, and a long history. They arrived in Israel, quite literally, only with their shirts on their backs. They now make up almost 60% of the vibrant and productive population of Israel. What have the Arabs, the richest people in the world, done with their refugees in more than 50 years? They have kept them in misery on the dole of the world and have taught their hopeless youth the skills of suicide missions, of slaughtering defenseless and unarmed men, women, and children. If the Arab nations truly decided to make peace with Israel and to put an end to the century-long strife, they could easily accomplish it by accepting the Palestinian refugees in their countries, and just as Israel did with Jewish refugees from Arab countries, integrating them into their societies and making useful citizens of them. In fact, acceptance in their countries might also be offered to the Israeli Arabs, who, despite enjoying a higher standard of living, education, and health than Arabs in any of the surrounding countries, and despite having the same civil rights as Israeli Jews, are not happy to live in a Jewish state. Population transfers are common, especially in the wake of wars. They have been practiced throughout history. In 1923, Greece and Turkey agreed to the resettlement of 2 million Greeks and 800,000 Turks. In 1945, the resettlement of 3 million Germans from Poland and the other countries was arranged. Following the collapse of its North African empire, France accepted close to 1.5 million people. More than 12 million Muslims and Hindus were exchanged between India and Pakistan. Israel has recognized this historical necessity. The Arab nation, with its enormous wealth and vast underpopulated lands, has stubbornly refused to face facts. It is clear that the Palestinian refugee problem is a red herring, kept alive by the Arab nations for their political purposes, and with cynical disregard for the great number of the impoverished people who live in these camps. It is being kept alive and is being used as a non-negotiable bargaining chip for the purpose of destroying the state of Israel, a feat that the Arabs have attempted several times by military means, but which has always ended in disastrous failure. Apart from the unsolvable social problems it would create, the introduction of, say, even one half of the 5 million who claim to be refugees would, with one stroke, dramatically alter the demographic makeup of the country, and would inevitably destroy the Jewish state. That is, of course, the whole idea behind the demand for the return of the refugees. If the Arab nations were willing to solve the refugee problem, The legitimacy of Israel could no longer be questioned. But that is not acceptable to the Arabs. They are firmly committed not to allow Israel or any non-believers to be in control of any part of the Middle East. It is that, and that alone, which is the real cause and issue of the Palestinian refugee problem. Not to say that this whole thing is a satanic conspiracy against the chosen people of Israel, for the old devil himself is behind it all. He is wroth with the woman, which is a type of Israel in the Bible, and he hates them because the nation of Israel has given to us the Word of God, has given us the plan of salvation through the Holy Scriptures, has given us our Savior, the Jewish Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Thanks to Facts and Logic About the Middle East Flame, this article is indeed very, very timely. Now, our files on morality. Now, Governor Ventura, of course, probably by the time you hear this broadcast, he'll no longer be governor, and I'm so glad that he will not be governor. And that is the worst thing, in my humble opinion, that ever happened to the state of Minnesota. But they're going to reap what they've sown. They wanted a guy like him, and so now they've got the results of it. He's just an example of the moral condition of our country, folks. But Ventura's proclamations promote homosexuals but prohibit prayer. How about that? Now, I've already stated this news item before, but I believe it's important enough for me to restate it. He had proclaimed back some time that that year should be the year Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Pride Celebration Month. And at the same time refused once again to issue a proclamation noting May 2nd as National Day of Prayer, according to the Minnesota Family Council. Once again, Ventura had thumbed his nose at millions of the people in Minnesota with his celebration of homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, while refusing to acknowledge the important role prayer and faith play in our society, said Tom Pritchard, president of the Minnesota Family Council. It boggles the mind why he continues his refusal to acknowledge the role religion and prayer play in our national heritage while actually celebrating sexual behaviors such as the perverse things I've already said, which involves men dressing as women, said Pritchard, who added that this is the second time Ventura had rejected the idea for a day of prayer. Well, folks, it's no wonder stuff like this happening in America, since women started dressing like men back in World War I, when our ladies had to go into the factories to put planes together and tanks and all that stuff, and they started bobbing their hair and putting on pants and dressing like men and acting like men. So by the time the soldiers came home, what did they come home to? Well, a bunch of women looking like men. I'll tell you frankly, folks, that is an abomination to God. The Bible specifically teaches about that. Now, if you're interested in listening to this, I can help you from the Bible. Now, if you don't want to listen to it, then just go ahead and leave. You know, be stubborn and be rebellious. But that's one of the reasons what's happened. A little leaven is leavened the whole lump and of the United States moral fabric, and you can chuck it down. It didn't just start with Ventura and Minnesota. It started a long time ago, and this thing is just getting out of control. It's out of hand already anyhow. Now, this is what the scriptures say. The woman, in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So, folks, this is one of the reasons of our moral decline in this country. Women are dressing like men, and now men are dressing like women. I mean, it's disgusting, and somebody needs to talk about it and preach against it. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry about that. But that's just the truth. And sometimes, you know, the truth hurts. And sometimes the surgeon, you know, is going to have to cut away and do some surgery, and that's going to hurt. But I speak the truth in love. If you would just open your heart to the truth, the Bible says the truth will make you free, and you'll be free indeed. This is what's going on in our country. This is just one of a thousand reasons why our country's going down the drain. The Bible talks about a nation that forsakes God shall be turned into hell. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So now you understand why we're in such a mess. And it's terrible, folks, but things are happening all over the place. Activities on Penn State campus reflect growing trends at tax-funded schools. During the particular year, the Women's Concerns Group at Penn State hosted an event called Sex Fair. And months later, asked Larry Flint, publisher of Hustler magazine, to speak. Now, this same group has used student fees to hire Patrick Rice, a transsexual author of these wicked, abominable, perverted books, and a backer of the North American Man-Boy Love Association. I mean, it's even hard for me to read this, let alone... I mean, can you imagine this stuff going on in our colleges? And so anyway, to address the campus, in addition to his appearance, the group held workshops on bisexuality, abortion, and homosexual Disney characters. No wonder parents are reevaluating public education and considering sending their kids to private institutions. Most parents want their kids to receive an education, not indoctrination, with this wicked abomination that's occurring, as reported here in the Washington Update. Here little, there little. Jane Fonda poured $12.2 million into the 2000 national elections, most of it to help candidates who support abortion. According to USA Today, the United States spends about $147 billion per year in criminal justice activities, reports the Bureau of Justice Statistics. There were 2.2 million justice-related employees throughout the country in 1999. For every 10,000 U.S. residents, state and local governments employed about 67 people to provide criminal justice services. 30 law enforcement employees, including 23 sworn police officers, 24 prison, jail, and community-based corrections employees, and 13 judicial and legal employees, including those working in courts and prosecutors and public defense offices. In 1999, students were victims of about 2.5 million crimes at school, 1.6 million thefts, and 880,000 non-fatal crimes, including about 186,000 serious violent crimes, including rape, sexual assault, robbery, and aggravated assault. Between 1995 and 1999, teachers were victims of 1,708,000 non-fatal crimes at school, including 1,073,000 thefts and 635,000 violent crimes, 79 crimes per 1,000 teachers annually, according to the Prison Bible Crusade newsletter. According to the CLA, Christian Law Association, there's some things we need to pray about. Just as I've read some of these immoral trends in America, look what's happening to those who are standing for the Word of God. Look at the persecution beginning. We need to pray for a church in Kansas that's being denied the opportunity to bid on federal surplus property because it is a religious institution. A federal official has told the pastor that allowing the church an opportunity to bid would be a violation of separation of church and state. We need to pray for Christian parents in Georgia whose children are being subjected to witchcraft in their public school classrooms. Can you believe that? The teacher reads the palms of her students' hands and hangs black paper over the windows of her classroom to keep evil spirits away. Unbelievable, this is happening in the United States of America. We need to pray for a military veteran in Ohio who's been told he may not receive military benefits for college funding because he wants to become a pastor. Now, that's a bunch of ludicrous nonsense. I served 6 years in the military and never had that problem before. I got some VA benefits so that I could go to Bible school, and I praise God for that. And that's the least we can do for our soldiers, especially if they're going to get into the ministry and help people come to know God. Oh, my soul. Folks, we're in a mess. Please don't touch your dial. More's coming. Thanks now to the sources of this news from Zion News International. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
God of Israel.
is Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Thank you so much for staying with us now for the second half of the broadcast of Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. And we're going to continue hearing our special guest preacher, Dr. Phil Kidd, in just a moment. But this is letter writing month, and we really need to hear from you. Would you please just take a moment and jot down just a few lines and either mail it to us, or you can get to our website, hopeofisrael.net. That's hopeofisrael.net, no spaces, just hopeofisrael.net. Get there, and it'll tell you how to email us and send us a letter, email, and tell us about this program, what impact it's had on your lives, and whether it's been a blessing or whether you disagree with anything we might be saying on the broadcast. Now, we're not aiming to make any enemies out there. We got enough as it is. But we surely would be encouraged to hear. We want to know where the broadcast is being heard around the world. And we need to listen to you. We need to hear from our listening audience out there. We want to know that you're listening. Would you please do us the great, great favor and let us know that this broadcast has been a help to you in some way, in some fashion. All right, please write us and let us know that you're listening to the broadcast. Give us the call letters of the station and tell us where you're from if you can. It would be a great blessing to us. All right, put your seatbelt on. Listen now to the man of God as he preaches on the title, The Birth of Israel.
What's going to happen after that? All that sorrow in chapter 23? There's going to be a proper relationship put back in the family again. You know what the name Rebecca means? It means to put a rope around their neck and pull them under yourself. You know what God's going to use the tribulation period for? Brother, in the long run, he's putting a rope around Israel's neck and he's pulling them under himself. They don't even know it. Israel is blind. Israel's dark. Israel's apostate. Israel has not accepted their Messiah. But when they get through chapter 24 and the scales fall from their eyes and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords descends out of heaven and sits on the throne of David, brother, they're going to accept their Messiah and they're going to get the relationship right with the family. Great God, in the morning you talk about a happy day, brother. I'm talking about 1,000 years. Jesus is going to rule and reign and sit on the throne of David. He'll rule this thing with a rod of iron. Jesse Jackson, bless God, and Bill Clinton won't be nowhere around. For the government shall be upon his shoulders. And the lion will lay down with the lamb. And the children will play with the snakes. And the glory of God will fill the temple of God. And Israel will receive their Messiah. And it'll be a celebration time. So, here in chapter 25, I got to close. I got to get out of here. These non-filter cigarettes are killing me. Chapter 25, you find the blessings. You know what happened after Isaac goes through all the sorrow and he gets his family straightened out for the first time in all the world? He starts having Jewish people upon the face of the earth. Let me tell you something. The bride of Christ is God's heavenly bride to Christ. But the Jew is God's wife and they are the inheritors of this earth. I don't give a flip what the Palestinians say. I'm going to tell you something, brother. That place belongs to Israel. And I don't care where they move the boundary. And I don't care how many bombs they set off. And I don't care how many aircraft sit on the throne. God's got the boundaries drawn in heaven. And brother, when this thing's all said and done, and the last shot's fired and the smoke's clear, Israel will be in Jerusalem, brother, and they'll inherit Abraham's promise. Run! Hallelujah to God. Well, there'll be no milk in the morning. Lord of God, that's enough to make a Presbyterian sound. Now, that's all my introduction. Here's what I want to give you in closing. I want to show you something. I'm done. I want to show you something. Now, watch this. Chapter 23 is the tribulation. Is that right? Now, we are pre-tribulationists. Which means we have got to be in chapter 22. We can't be in 23 because that's the tribulation. We're not in 21 because Israel's already been born and has and has grown. So we've got to be in chapter 22. That means we are in the chapter where Israel is being forsaken by all. Now what are we supposed to do? Here I am stuck in chapter 22. And I'm not a Jew. Thank God I'm glad I'm a Gentile. Bless God, I like bacon. I'm serious now, man. I like bacon. I like all this Jewish stuff. Can y'all eat pizzas anyway? Can y'all eat pizza with no pork on it? Yeah, you'll eat that Italian stuff, but you won't eat American stuff. You're a racist. That's what you are. You're a racist. I told him, I said, this meeting's racial. All this apple stuff for the Jews. You need watermelon over here for black folks and crackers down here for white folks. Balance this thing out, Brother Freed. We are pre-tribulationists. Israel has already been born. Hey, I feel a little kickback. Let me tell you that one more time. We are pre-tribulationists. God has not appointed us up the ramp. Part of the tribulation period ain't for the church. That's for Israel. I'm going to tell you in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, John writes the seven churches. You find the word church, 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 church. And I tell you, when Revelation chapter 4 opens up, John said, I heard a voice as a trumpet which said, come up hither. You don't ever find the word church anymore. You know why? The church ain't here. The church ain't here. The church ain't here. Brother, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the trumpet of God's going to sound, and the born again blood washed church is pulling out of here. Help yourself, sister. Bless God Almighty. Yes, hallelujah. Hey, it may be tonight, brother. Don't you feel sorry for me, brother. I'm glad I'm an old-time Christian. This may be the night. This may be the very night. I said, this could be the very night when the trumpet sounds and we pull out of here. Could be the night. This world may be in chapter 23 come morning, but bless God, if it is, I'll be in glory. Now, we're in chapter 22. Have we not with our own eyes watched nation after nation turn their back on Israel? Have not the Muslims and the Palestinians and the Arabs lifted their knives to cut the throat of Isaac? They'd like nothing more than exterminate that handful of people known as Jews. So here we are in chapter 22. What are we going to do? What are we supposed to do anyhow? I'm a Gentile. Bless God, how would somebody tell me what I'm supposed to be doing? Here's what the Lord showed me and I'm through. Isaac was going under. The knife was already pulled and it was all over but the crime. He was bound, so he couldn't work to get right. He was gagged, so he couldn't even repeat a prayer to get right. I said he couldn't even repeat a prayer. I'll tell you something, you put your faith in a prayer, what are you going to do if you forget what you said? My faith ain't in what I said. My faith in my heart turning to the Lord, and the Lord turning to me. Brother, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's not what I've done. It's not what I said. Woo! Hallelujah. Watch this. Bless God Almighty. I'm about ready to pull this sheet down. Watch this. Son Isaac's going down for the last time. It's about over. And all of a sudden, the angel of God said, Abraham, I ain't going to let you do that. Tribulation's around the corner, but I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to look behind you. The Bible said there was a ram caught in the thicket. There's a ram caught in the thicket. Hey, I got to thinking about that thing yesterday. My wife will tell you, I had a Holy Ghost fit in my study. I ain't lying now. Hey, I'm glad I don't have to be at church to shout, praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, I got to thinking about that. Why was it a ram caught in the thicket? That thicket is a result of the curse. There was no thorns and thistles and briars and thickets till the curse. That ram had to have horns. Because had those briars been wrapped around that ram and it scratched it, it would be disqualified. Because it had to be without spot and without blemish. But with those horns, is the type of authority, the type of power, the type of independence, the type of sovereignty. Had God sent a ram down to a cursed atmosphere and he submitted his authority to that curse, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to find every Jew I can, and I'm going to tell them, there's a ram in the thicket. There's a ram in the thicket. There's a ram all in the thicket. Woo! I tell you, Isaac, you don't have to die. Isaac, you don't have to die. There's a ram that's taking your place. You can be set free if you'll accept the ram. I can imagine when Abraham cut Isaac loose, set him off the altar. He watched his daddy cut that ram's throat, throw him on that altar, bleed him, and watch that hair and skin start burning in the fire. Isaac and Abraham, the Bible said, walked back down the mountain together. I believe they walked back down to the mountain and Isaac looked up. He saw that smoke ascending up to heaven, knowing it should have been him. Hey, Daddy, could I have just a few minutes? Where are you going, son? Daddy, can I just have a minute by myself? All right, Isaac, go ahead. Isaac goes back up to the top of the mountain. He approaches that altar and he falls down next to the fire and the blood and the flesh boiling. And he says, little lamb, I don't know how I can thank you enough. Because had it not been for you taking my place, I'd never get to go back to Daddy's house. But because you were willing to take my place, I'm free. I'm free! I said I'm free! I can! I know! I can. You sound just about like that horn he blows when you scream like that. I can show you in the Bible where a lamb died for a person. I can show you in the Bible where a lamb died for a family. I can show you in the Bible where a lamb died for a tribe. I can show you one time in the Old Testament where a lamb died for a nation. But you're going to go to Calvary before you'll find a lamb that dies for the world. I'll tell you what I'm going to do in 22. I'm going to answer Isaac's question. Isaac looked at Abraham and said, where is the lamb? He knew. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I tell that to you. I know where the lamb is. He's the Prince of... Hallelujah. I'll give this to you MacArthur lovers before I leave. Terry man's a heretic. Now I'll tell you something. I told this at Brother Nate's. If you're saved by the death of Christ and the blood doesn't matter, then there was no need for a resurrection. Hey, by the way, if you believe chickens peck through it and dogs lick it, I believe you're going to hell. I'll tell you something, brother, when that priest went behind the veil into the holiest of holies, he didn't carry that dead lamb's body. It was out there burning on the altar. I'll tell you why he got behind the veil. I'll tell you how he got in the presence of God. It was the blood. 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 You want to get the God? It's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. I'll tell you this about the blood, you young preacher men, you listen to me. Don't you ever let these deep theologian heretics convince you of anything else. Let me give you this and I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm broke. You gonna give me an offering for coming? If you don't, I might have to siphon some gas tonight out in the parking lot. Let me give you this and I'm out of here. You know what? You know, this place needs to be a little more colorful. This black junkie just want to cry. You need to get something more contemporary, Brother Freed. I'll tell you something about the blood. I'm late. You know why the Old Testament saints couldn't go to heaven when they died? They did not go to heaven when they died. No, they didn't. They went to a place called paradise. How come they had to go to paradise? Why couldn't they go to heaven? I'll tell you why. God showed me this. Because the saints could not go farther than the blood. You see, the blood of those bulls and goats never left this earth. So the saints couldn't go any farther than the earth. They were atoned, but they were still in captivity. They could not leave this atmosphere. Why? Because the blood that was shed for their atonement only made it to the altar and was evaporated and soaked in this earth. It never left this earth. When that priest took it behind the veil and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, that's as far as it went. That's why, glory to God, when Jesus got up on resurrection morning, Mary reached out to touch him and he said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended unto the Father." Hallelujah! Let me tell you what he did. He took the same blood that he had shed on the cross 3 days earlier, and he went up through the Milky Way, and he went up through the third heavens, and he walked past the choir, and he said good morning to the Father, and he walked in the holy place and put the blood. I said, he put the blood on the mercy seat of God. Yes, he did. I said, he put the blood on the mercy seat of God. And so now, the Apostle Paul says, to be absent from the body, you don't go to paradise. Oh, I ain't going to the heart of the earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know how far I'm going, honey? I'm going as far as the blood's gone. And I'm telling you, it's in heaven. And when I leave this old world, I'm going where the blood is. God bless you. Thank you for staying.
Well, what a message. I'll tell you what. He's so right. The blood. Without the shedding of blood, folks, there's no remission. Now, if you're Jewish listening to this program and listen to that message, I hope that it has helped you in some way to see that all those blood sacrifices of the Old Testament scriptures was pointing to the Messiah. What other meaning could it be? What other meaning could they have? Let me just tell you some scriptures here about the blood, the importance of the blood as far as atonement is concerned. Your Jewish Bible, the Holy Scriptures, tells us there in the Torah, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, for the life of the flesh, notice, is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So the importance here in the Torah that there must be shedding of blood. Now many Orthodox Jews during Yom Kippur will take a chicken and swing it around their head and say that's their atonement. But folks, that does not qualify to be a blood sacrifice offering as dictated in the Torah. And that's the problem that I had growing up in Judaism. If I was going to be a Jew, a faithful Jew, religiously speaking, I was going to follow the Torah to the letter of the law. But I realized that nobody around me, neither could I find them in the world at that time, was practicing the Torah like it says we should. Oh, I know that they've made all kinds of excuses and all kinds of traditions in order to cover up their real responsibility. And I tell you this in love because I'm a Jew myself, that they've covered up the truth by their tradition. Like I said, the question I always asked as I was growing up and as I went to synagogue is, if I'm going to be a Jew, a faithful Jew in the Jews' religion, ought I not to follow what the scriptures say? After all, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. Now, if I'm looking around at the most orthodox synagogues, including the Lubavitch movement, the Hasidic, the Sephardim, all of those religious Orthodox Jews, which many of them are very zealous. I mean, they're sincere in what they're trying to do. They're trying to appease God. They're trying to please God the best they know. But in reality, they all have to admit they're not following the Torah according to the Mosaic law. They've come up with other schools of tradition in order to compensate for the lack of atonement. Now, the question I got to ask you is, would God leave his people Israel without an atonement? Would he? The obvious answer is, he would not. God never gives two conflicting commands. Here in Deuteronomy I read that we'll be cursed if we don't follow the law. Then would God make it impossible to obey something he told us to do? Obviously, there must be a lot more to this than perhaps meets the eye. That all the law of Moses was a picture, a shadow of things to come. Prophecies, typology of the one who would fulfill the very picture that was being painted here in the Mosaic law. In fact, during Yom Kippur, one of the main prayers, the Mosaf prayer, says the Messiah, our righteousness has turned from us, meaning he once had been here, but now was departed from us. We are alarmed that we have no one to justify us. Our sins and the yoke of our transgressions he bore. He was bruised for our iniquities. He carried on his shoulders our sins. With his stripes we are healed. Almighty God, hasten the day that he might come to us anew, that we may hear from Mount Lebanon a second time through the Messiah, who is called Yanan. Now, folks, I haven't made that up. That was in the Jewish prayer book for Yom Kippur, which, by the way, has been removed for the most part. You'll not see it in many of the prayer books during Yom Kippur, and I wonder why. This selection from the Jewish prayer book corresponds almost word for word with the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Rabbi Yanea in the Sanhedrin 98 folio 2 says concerning the Messiah, quote, his name will be Yanan. As it is written, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Psalm 72:17. I'm quoting from what the rabbi had said. The word Yanan is the word which in this verse is translated continued and means both I am and I will be. How about that? We now bring passages from the Zohar, Midrashim, Midrashim and other rabbinical writings, which agree that Isaiah 53 refers to the Messiah who is pierced and bruised. The Targum explicitly teaches that the whole chapter of Isaiah 53 refers to the Messiah. On Isaiah 52:13, it elaborates, quote, "My servant, the Messiah, will be great, who was bruised for our sins." The Midrash, Tachumi, commenting on Isaiah 52:13, quote, it said, "He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high," says, quote, "He was more exalted than Abraham, more extolled than Moses, higher than the archangels," unquote. That can be applied to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is the greatest personality of all ages. In the Midrash Rabbah of Rabbi Moses, the preacher, page 660, will read, "God hath from the beginning made a covenant with the Messiah and told him, 'My righteous Messiah, those who are entrusted to you, their sins will bring you into a heavy yoke. Your ears will hear great shame, your mouth will taste bitterness, and your tongue will cleave to the roof of your mouth, and your soul will be weakened in grief and sighing. Are you satisfied with this?' And he answered, 'I joyfully accept all these agonies in order that not one of Israel should be lost.' Immediately the Messiah accepted all agonies with love, as it is written in Isaiah 53:7, 'He was oppressed and he was afflicted.'" How about that? Even the Midrash Rabbah of Rabbi Moses had said that about the Messiah. Who else could it be but Yeshua Mashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, think for yourself. Think for yourself. Receive the truth, and the truth will make you free, and you'll be free indeed.
Keep his covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent. That is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by his own blood, and call upon him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to his word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew-English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or HOPEOFISRAEL.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.